to put yourself in a position to receive teaching. It's not just, 20 minutes on Sunday. Teaching is not just for that. Teaching is when you sit down, when you rise up and you go in, when you come out. That's what teaching is all about. My littlest granddaughter, everything is teaching, it's just pick up the block, throw the block, don't throw the block, don't hit the dog, there's a lot of teaching going on every single day, all day long, because I'll come over there and, her mom wants me to help teach that child so she can do something else besides teach the child, right? So Deuteronomy chapter 6, Father, we just pray this morning that as we approach your word, that you always teach us. You're bringing us into your wisdom and your understanding of how this eternity works, but also how time works and how it works with us in the middle of it. So Father, we pray that you would just reveal to us how to hear your voice and how to know what you are teaching us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. It's always good to receive that. We're trying not to go too much today. I know we had a lot of testimonies today, which are so awesome and so wonderful to be able to have these testimonies, because it's people are growing. Amen. People are growing. They're hearing the Lord, and they're learning how to speak about it and teach each other. It's like in the prayer, that Lori shared, is that people are, when you start praying, then finally you start, I can do this. I can actually open my mouth, So, if you come into prayer, we invite you to just come in. If you want to listen for a while, maybe you're running, it's like running a race, and you're kind of alongside, and you want to find a place to come in. Or maybe you're driving along on a road and you're trying to find a place to merge, trying to find a place to get into the flow of traffic, we invite you to just come to prayer, come listen, you can call in, just be on the phone, we don't even know who it is, we see there's another caller right there, you could just come right in and just begin to live in the flow and enjoy, it's good to flow in prayer and allow people to just join in with you. Amen? And we'll encourage you to do that. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 6 says this. Now, these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you. Remember, we're talking about teaching. That God commanded to teach you. So God is commanding you to be taught. Why? That you might do them in the land where you go to possess it. So there's something for you to do in the land that you're going to end up in, that the land that you're living in. God has given you a land. First of all, he's given you the land in which you have been born again. You've been saved. What's that first land? Is Luke chapter, can't remember what part of Luke, anyway. Says, learn how to possess, let every one of you know how to possess your soul in peace. So to possess your soul is important. And your soul is kind of rowdy sometimes. Your soul is kind of out there. Your soul is your mind, will, and emotions, the part of you that gets really kind of beat up in this world. That's the part of your soul that the Lord says you must possess your soul. Don't let your soul have control. Amen? But you, as a spirit person, you're born of the Spirit, and that soul has been educated and affected by things in this world, by your experience in this world. So your soul, grows up in a world full of turmoil, in a world full of options, and the Holy Spirit comes, and the living God comes, and he says, okay, I want you to walk, to what did Jesus say? Follow me. I want you to follow me. So you are following the Lord, and in doing so, possessing your soul. Amen? So you're possessing, let every one of you, over in Thessalonians, says, let each one of you, Paul said, know how to possess your soul in glory and honor. How to possess your soul. In other words, so your soul doesn't possess you. Okay? So your soul doesn't, your mind, will, and emotions don't possess you. Because they do. You ever notice that? Sometimes your mind just kind of runs away with you. Boy, this is troublesome. Boy, this is a problem. Boy, no matter what may happen, all of a sudden somebody's yelling at you, or somebody's unhappy with you, or some circumstance comes up, or it just is not going the way that you had hoped today. And all of a sudden your soul can try to possess you. But we say, no, you don't get to possess me. I possess you. You are under the authority of the love of God. Of the love of God. Sometimes that's what it needs to be. Is under the control of the love of God rather than respond to the circumstance or the situation. Isn't that right? Circumstances and situations, they can come. And they can come fast and they can come mean. But you walk in peace. You're walking in love. You're walking in joy. The fruit of the Spirit is ruling and reigning on the inside of you because you have possessed your soul. That's part of what teaching is all about. Teaching you how to possess your soul. Amen? All right. So that you might do these things as you go in to possess the land, your land. That's you. That you might, verse 2, Deuteronomy 6, that you might fear the Lord. Here it just continues to let you know how this is going to affect you and how this is going to benefit and bless you. That you might fear the Lord your God to keep all of his statutes and his commandments, which I command you and your son and your son's son all the days of your life. That'd be Judah, my son's son. So that he'd be able to keep them all the days of his life, and that your days may be prolonged. Well, that's interesting, isn't it? Is that these commandments actually prolong your life. If you do, how many know if you do stupid things and don't take care of things in your life, you could die early? Maybe eat the things you're supposed to eat, or don't eat so much of the things you're not supposed to eat. Make sure your water is pure water. All right? That your life may, that your days may be prolonged. Verse 3, hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with you. This is good stuff. That it may be well with you. You're doing the word of God, and it'll be well with you. It will be well with you. And you may increase mightily, as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you in the land that flows with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your might, with all your soul. And so this is the Shema. This is where Israel, that's the main thing you hear about Israel, right? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Thou shalt love the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. But don't forget the rest of it. Don't forget the rest of it. I mean, so many times we kind of get to our favorite scripture and we kind of forget the ones that brought us there, that brought us to it. All right? Verse 6. Now, this is what I usually teach when we're dedicating kids. And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lay down, and when you rise up. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. Well, what does that mean? What they would do is they would take the scripture and they would write it on little parchments, and they would put it in a little leather pouch, and they'd put it up on their head. And they would tie it up on their head to keep the scripture, to demonstrate, hey, I'm keeping the word of God in my mind. I'm keeping the word of God in my mind. Now, the Pharisees would walk around. They began to walk around with a thing that's a little bigger than just a little tiny pouch. I mean, they would walk around with something about that big on their head, something that would just about take, is almost like a backpack on your head, And that kind of went along with the same thing of to pray out in public, loud prayers on the street corners, taking the best seats in the synagogue, and make sure the people know that you have got the Word of God right here on your head, you know, so that people would know that. So no, but what you want to do is just, yeah, it's a reminder for you that Word of God is right there. You know the little mezuzahs? What? You know the little mezuzahs? It's a little box that's on the side of the door, and you'll see in some of the Jewish movies, you know, or in a Jewish thing where they're Jewish people, when they go in to the, you go in the door or go out of the door, you touch that thing, because there's scripture in it. There's the Word of God in it. So you're touching that. You're making sure that you are acknowledging God's Word when you come in and when you go out. Say mezuzah. Not Azusa, mezuzah. All right. You can buy those at the Christian bookstore, which is kind of interesting, right? You can buy those at the Christian bookstore. Now, you shall bind them for a sign upon your hands, and that they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. And you shall write them upon the posts of your house, mezuzah, and on your gates, and it shall be when the Lord your God, the Lord God, shall have brought you into the land which he sware to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give you great and goodly cities that you builded not, and houses full of good things which you filled not, wells dug which you dug not, vineyards and olive trees which you planted not. When you shall have eaten and be full, then beware lest you forget the Lord, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. You shall fear the Lord your God and serve him and shall swear by his name, and not go after other gods of the people which are around about you. For the Lord your God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord God be kindled against you and destroy you from off the face of the earth. You shall not tempt the Lord your God as you tempted him in Massah, back in the wilderness. Verse 17 says, you shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God and his testimonies and his statutes, which he has commanded you. And that you shall do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with you, and that it may go, that you may go in and possess the good land which the Lord swore to your fathers. Amen. All right, so to say that is that to keep the Word of God and keep the commandments of the Lord close to you. Now, are we talking about that for salvation? No, we're talking about that for living and having an enjoyable life in this earth. Amen? Now, God said, okay, here's the commandments of the Lord. Problem is, we find out you can't keep them. And so he brings in the Savior. He brings in Jesus. Jesus dies for your sins and is raised again for your justification. He, in putting your hope and your faith in him, then you are born again. The righteousness of God is given to you. The righteousness of God is imparted to you. When I say imparted, it's by faith alone. It's not some, you know, well, all of a sudden, boom, you're righteous. You know, you look righteous, you smell righteous. No, you actually don't really look much different. But God begins to manifest his goodness in you. And he transforms you from one degree of glory to another, from glory to glory. You are a brand new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. The Holy Spirit comes to live and to dwell on the inside of you. I'm not preaching new stuff to you people. I know, which I know. But what happened, if the word of the Lord and the commandments of God are still in effect. I mean, you walk in right in goodness and righteousness and blessing to your neighbor, to your family, and you are blessed and they are blessed. Amen? These are just things, these are laws that are in the earth that God says, just do this. He said, do this and you'll be blessed. Do the other and you won't. You know, we tell that to our little kids, right? We teach them And so we need to teach them. We teach one another as well. We encourage. Give room for somebody to encourage you, all right? Some people are how many know grown people get in trouble? Huh? You think kids get in trouble. My golly, grown people get in trouble too. Amen. They do. And we were talking the other day, Danny was we're sharing about some folks that come to him. You know, he's been in his position at work a long time. And he gets folks in there who, they just want to come in and do their own way. And he'll just kind of bring it to their attention that's just not going to work. And, after having done this for about 35 years, I've tried all the ways and your way doesn't work, because I've failed at it, And you encourage people. How many know you want to encourage people? Don't go over there. Don't do that. Don't go that way. Amen? Isn't that powerful? The thing is that you have been taught these things, and God is using you to teach somebody else. You have the word of the Lord. You have understanding with godliness and with the peace of God, the knowledge of God, that we know that whom we have believed, that God is able to keep that which we've committed unto him against that day. What does that mean? That means that we have given ourselves over to God's way of doing things. Amen? And we know he is good for it. Even though it looks like, God, I don't know how that would ever work. I don't know how that would ever come through that way. But he is going to bless you. He's going to take care of you. Over in Exodus chapter 4, the scripture says, now therefore, you and, let's see, I'm going to read my own writing. How many know that's not easy sometimes? Now therefore go, and I will be with you. Talking to Moses. God is talking to Moses. Go, and I will be with you with thy mouth, and teach you what you shall say. How many know God will go with you? Doesn't matter where you are. Maybe you're in a brand new place. God is going to go with you. He's going to teach you what you should do. Well, God's never been there before either, as far as I know. No, he will go with you. He will teach you what you should do. You know God's always going to go with you. He's always going to go with you. He's always going to teach you. You want to walk with him. Verse 15 in the same passage, he will teach you what you shall do. So God's going to teach you what you should say, and God is going to teach you what you should do. Remember how Jesus said that? He said, I only do what I see hear my Father speak, hear my Father say, and I only do what I see my Father do. How interesting that God told the same thing to Moses, and then Jesus told us the same thing. So you don't just get educated to go do, but you walk consistently in the presence of God, and he is consistently teaching and telling you how to walk, what to say and what to do. See, this is a kind of a new way of living, is that you are in constant communication. You don't just come to church on Sunday, hear a message, and try to put it into practice. But you, in fact, are filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is, it's like one of those secret service, sorry to bring them up these days, but maybe we could bring up somebody else. Maybe it's like the folks in the drive-thru at Chick-fil-A. How's that? That better? They've got a little thing in their ear, and they hear everything. Yeah. So, but they hear everything. They hear what to do. They hear what to say. They hear, And so that's what you are with the Holy Ghost. Amen? God had that idea back, before there was ever any kind of a curly wire that could go in your ear. He baptized you in the Holy Spirit. He baptized Jesus in the Holy Spirit. And then he said, you wait in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. He said, don't go anywhere. Don't go anywhere until you be endued with power from on high. So he wanted you to wait until the Holy Spirit was going with you. Now he did that in a measure. He gave them a measure of that, and Luke chapter 10 and Luke chapter 11, when he sent the 12. He sent the 12 out and gave them power over sickness, diseases, and demons, devils. He gave them power over that. And then they came back, and it worked out so well, Jesus sent more, 70 more. He sent 70 more. Had given them power to do that. Now, that was obviously a temporary impartation of power. And then they'd come back. And then finally, when Jesus is going to ascend to the Father, he's talking to his disciples, about the 120. Those 70 were probably there. And so they were there with the 120. He said, don't go anywhere until you be endued with power. So God wants you to have that power and that constant communication with the Holy Spirit. Now that's not as prevalent in the church today. You know, more it got more into just, okay, we're going to teach you a word, like I'm talking about teaching today. We're going to teach you a word, and then you're going to go do it. But that what that does is it limits the your expectation that the Holy Spirit is going to come and continually work in you and what leads you. And so you are consistently walking again with the Holy Spirit. That's what he wants you to do. Because Jesus is no longer with you, right? Jesus is no longer walking beside you, you know, man to man, you know, man to sister, you know. Jesus is with you, but he's with you through the Holy Spirit. So he's not like walking down the road to Emmaus with you, or walking to Jericho, all right? But he is. He is because the Holy Spirit is in you. He is with you and shall be in you. Micah verse 2 says, and many nations shall come and say, let me read this again. And many nations shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of our God, of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. So he's prophesying of that day when the Holy Spirit is going to come, and he's going to teach you. All right? Mark 6:34, Jesus, when he was come, he came out and saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And what did he begin to do? He began to teach them many things. So when we have grown up in a world full of its own way, remember over in the day of Noah, and then in the days of the judges, the scripture tells us, it said every man did what was right in his own eyes. And of course, you know, we know what happened with the circumstance there in the day of Noah, is that God said, okay, we're going to start over. It doesn't go well. If you do what was right in your own eyes, it doesn't go well for you. It doesn't go well for you. God says, follow, what did he say in there in Deuteronomy? Follow what I've taught you. Then you'll be blessed. Then you'll see what good things I'm doing. You know, I've taught out of Joshua recently, and that kind of seems to be a prevailing thought on God's mind, is that we would don't let the word of God depart out of your mouth, but meditate therein day and night, Joshua 1:8, and observe to do all that is written therein, kind of like what we read here. Then something's going to happen. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Then thou shalt have good success. Well, who's he saying? Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Why? Because you are observing the commands of the Lord. You're observing what God is commanding you to do. And again, these things we're not talking about salvation nor sanctification. Those are done specifically by the Holy Spirit as you walk with him and have fellowship with him. But these commands are things that in themselves are a blessing to you. You have them there in front of you to walk according to these practices. You look in Proverbs that Solomon was teaching his son how to do this and don't do that. You know, stay away from that woman. Stay away from these practices. Amen. So what they do is these things prevent you from stepping off, you know, into things that are not helpful, right? Luke 11, here's Jesus. And it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place, when he had ceased, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples to pray. And he said unto them, when he didn't criticize them. He just started. He said, when you pray, say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He began to teach them how to pray. Jesus taught in everyday terms. He taught how to pray. He taught how to love. He taught how to forgive. He taught how to minister to every class of people. He taught you that every class of people was valuable. Everybody was loved by God. You look over at the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7, how God teaches the Jewish people, teaches them that the Father, that God in heaven, who they fear, is also their Father, your Father in heaven. When you pray to your Father in heaven, go and pray in secret, and your Father in heaven who loves you will reward you openly. So we're teaching our children, not just math and science. We're teaching our children and our brothers and sisters in the Lord. We're teaching one another to be encouraged, to be built up, to hear the voice of the Lord. Romans, one of the gifts in Romans chapter 12 is a gift of teaching. Doesn't mean you're going to be a classroom teacher. Good. But doesn't mean that. But you have a gift of teaching. You have an ability to impart the wisdom and understanding of how to bring something to pass, of how somebody can continue to bless somebody else, and how they can do a certain walk in the presence of the Lord, all right? Luke 12, verse 2. For the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say. Just like he talked about to Moses. Jesus saying, the Holy Spirit will teach you when you're in trouble, when you're being persecuted. For the context here is that you're being persecuted for the sake of the gospel. The Holy Spirit will tell you how to teach, or how to answer in that particular day. Amen. So now in verse Matthew 28:19, he says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost." So he's commanding us to go and teach the disciples, but commanding those who are with him, that those of us who are following the Lord Jesus, to teach all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And then finally, in Jeremiah 31, verses 33 and 34, "But this will be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. The scriptures, I said finally, the one that we had there. Well, we'll go ahead and wrap up. In Psalm 78, and we'll quit with this. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. Now, when he says keep his commandments, it's not that word keep is not as much obey as to keep them before you, to guard them, to observe them, to keep them always in front of you. You're keeping the word of God and the commandments of God in front of you. Because we live in a world that says, look at me. We live in a world that says, follow what we do. But you live in a new kingdom. You live in the kingdom of God. And when you live in the kingdom of God, though you are among a people who does not believe in God, and even if they have some testimony of living with God or believing in God, their life doesn't reflect it because they don't have a true relationship with God. Even some folks, people who are born again, people who are born again because they have received the Lord Jesus, but they're not growing. They're not growing in the things of God. The circumstances of life just wear them out. Amen? You seen that? I mean, we have churches upon churches upon churches of people who basically get a gospel salvation message every week, but never learn how to grow. They never learn how to walk in the presence and the love and the peace of God. Just like these guys were sharing this morning, and about how that even in the midst of your circumstances, rejoice. Give thanks to God in the midst of all of it. In the midst of all of it, giving thanks. Because that will change you. Amen. That will cause you to walk in joy every single hour. Because you know that your God has already taken care of everything all the way to the day that he comes for you. Even though circumstances are difficult, in the natural, your joy is still full. You know, when folks feel bad, you know, they'll tell you, you know. And that's the one thing that becomes, you hear that, is because their faith is not in the fact that God's delivered me. Their faith is in the fact that I hurt. And I get it. I understand it. We all understand that. Especially when somebody you care for, somebody you love, and there's a suffering going on in the natural and in the flesh, and it's real. But they have no ability to get past that by faith. It's the entire testimony is, I just feel so bad. I just feel so bad. And I'm not criticizing the person, because that's where they are. That's where they are. But what I'm encouraging you with is teaching somebody, and it takes time to do this, teaching somebody how to walk by faith in the midst of an awful situation. Even when it's a physical, awful situation, and it's real, and it is on you. But to teach people how to say, God is good. And I'm trusting Him to take this pain, to take this fear, to take this trouble, and transform it. Amen. God is working all things. Jeff said it this morning in Romans 8:28. I mean, it's just a scripture we all quote, willy-nilly. It's one of those you put on your wall, right? One of those you frame and put on your wall. All things work together. Well, it's easy for you to say. Now, all things work together for good. That's a promise of God. That's not only just a promise of God that you're waiting for. That is a promise of God that is right now, and it's you're living it. Is all things are working together for my good, and they can't work any other way. It's absolutely impossible. It's impossible for it to work any other way. Amen. It's impossible for it to work any other way. That the Holy Spirit is working all things for my good. Everything's being transformed. Everything's, you know what? And even if it doesn't look like it's being transformed, guess who's being transformed? It's me. I'm transformed. You can't get me down. You can't beat me up. You can't win over me. I always win. Everybody say that. I always win. Oh man, that was good. That was a good one. I like that. I always win. You know, and then my wife will say, well, did you just complain right there? And yeah, I probably did. Anybody like me, you complain in the moment? It's kind of like when you poke the end of your finger. You know, it's going, yes, what do you say? Ouch. But I say in Jesus' name, thank God. Oh my gosh, oh, praise the Lord. You know, God is healing that right now. God's healing. Amen. So just enjoy that today. And we're talking about teaching. I'm talking about teaching your kids. I'm talking about teaching your friends. Let's go back to school. Maybe you took the summer off and complained. It's time to go back to school. Amen. Go back to school. The Holy Spirit's on the inside of you. He's teaching you. He's teaching me every single day, Judy. The Holy Spirit's teaching me every single day. Because He loves me. Amen. Amen. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. Hallelujah. Isn't that nice? Praise the Lord. Let's lift our hands and thank you. Father, we just love you. Father, we praise you. You're so good. You teach us. You train us. You take away the old bad teaching and you give us good new teaching. I am taught of the Lord. I am taught of the Lord. I'm taught of the Lord. He likes teaching me. He likes to spend time with me. We walk all over Jerusalem. We walk all over Judea. We walk all over Samaria. We walk all over Fort Worth. We walk all over Texas together. The Holy Spirit's on the inside of me teaching. And I'm blessed, and I'm peaceful, and I'm happy. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for anybody who doesn't know you. Ask you to thank you that you save them by faith alone in Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for it. I thank you for it. That you'll baptize anybody in this room in the Holy Ghost. Father, thank you for baptizing me in the Holy Spirit. Fill me with your Holy Spirit right now. Fill me with power right now in Jesus' name. Thank you for healing. Thank you for meeting all of our needs. providing jobs for people who need jobs, healing for those who need healing. In the name of Jesus. Father, we receive it. We receive it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen.
'Cause all my life you have been faithful. 'Cause all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. And I will sing of the goodness of God.
Receive our offering. Father, we thank you that you provide all of our needs, both in the church and individually, personally, for all of our families. So Father, we thank you for that. Father, we thank you for caring for us. We thank you that you are our supply. So our giving is in faith and in, we take great joy in our ability to have a heart to give. And we just give you praise and give you thanks in Jesus' name. Let's all stand together and we'll sing that again.
It's running after me. Your goodness is running after. It's running after me. Yeah, yeah. Your goodness is running after. It's running after me. I know your goodness is running after. It's running after. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me. It's running after. It's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. 'Cause all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God. I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of God.
And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he lift up his happy, shining, favorable countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. All right, love you all.